Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Namaste, yogis. This is Andrew Seeley here to welcome you to the Yoga Revealed podcast. I am so excited to reveal this episode to you. Today, I have the Tantra Yoga expert and world-renowned sex coach, Salm Isadora, on the podcast. Not only is she deep-rooted in her tantric lineage of yoga, but she is also a well-practiced relationship coach whose empowering yet controversial teachings have been featured in popular publications such as Playboy Magazine and Yoga Journal. Salm aims to empower women and men to overcome trauma and find sexual healing through clear communication and true self-acceptance.
So even the people who caused us, I think, our greatest harms are sometimes the person who made us into superheroes.
Tap into the wisdom of Tantra healing with self-love as Salm shows us the path found when we rise above on this outstanding yet uniquely exciting episode of the Yoga Revealed podcast with Salm Isadora. Namaste, yogis. Thank you guys again for joining us for another absolutely amazing episode of the Yoga Revealed podcast. I have the pleasure, yes, I said the pleasure, of sitting here with Salm Isadora, the absolutely wonderful yogi who's actually a sex expert.
Yes.
And not only a sex expert, but she's a worldwide personality known for her TV presence, known for her coaching, and known for women's empowerment and teaching people about pussy power.
You know, so pussy power, I think, is fundamental to the evolution and the spiritual shift in our culture. So if you have an audience that's already yogis, yoga was the thing that saved my life. So what a lot of people don't know about me, I say I'm a sex expert, and everybody has, I think, all these assumptions right away. Oh, what's a sex expert? Or they're curious. When I say that to like men, you know, at a convention or a bar, I see their eyes light up and I'm like, no, I'm not going to have sex with you. Like, that doesn't mean I'm easy.
Exactly.
So then I say, well, the reason I became a sex expert is because I had sexual abuse. So I had to go on a path to find a way to heal myself. And yoga was the first thing that helped me to kind of mend the brokenness, I think, of my body. Because my body at that point had been the thing that had been abused and betrayed sexually. So having a female body that was sensual, that was sexual, and being a sexual person had been very harmful to me. And I didn't know how to navigate moving in a world as a sexual female without, you know, without sexual violence, without being called a slut, without being called a whore, without, you know, all these things that I'd grown up with because I came from a very Christian background.
Wow.
But there was such an inherent hypocrisy because I grew up on this like very Christian, it was actually a cult, like wearing a bonnet, full Waco style, like in a log cabin.
Where did you grow up?
Northern California. I grew up in Mendocino in a log cabin, no electricity, no running water. And so that was very extreme. And then in that environment, we were told, like, you know, women have to cover their bodies or they'll make men sin. Men can't control themselves.
Wow. That's such like an objectifying, just I mean, completely sexist term.
I think it's just a sad place to be in the world. And if you look at a lot of the problems we're having in the world, or you know, the rape culture on college campuses, even in America, mm-hmm. like I think we like to think we're so evolved here.
Yeah.
But there's definitely been a lot coming out with the Bill Cosby case, and Lady Gaga had an Oscar-nominated song this year for a movie that was a documentary about rape culture on college campuses. And so even in America, where we think we're very enlightened, there's still such a loaded thing about sexuality for men and women. And then especially just as a woman, how do you carry yourself in this world sexually without, like, how many people do you sleep with before you're no longer as valuable, right? Or you're, you know, now you're a hoe. and I think it's just so interesting, because I think it comes from shame. And I don't think it's a problem that men started. I actually think men suffer too. So I think the whole world right now is in a moment of intense suffering because of shame around our primal sexual nature. And until we find a way to merge our psychology and our primal sexuality, we'll continue to have these pockets of suffering where there's sexual abuse or sexual violence, or just, you know, if it's not that extreme, just people not, you know, sexless marriage, porn addiction. There's a lot of things going on in this world that I feel are unnecessary suffering.
Totally.
And if you have an audience that's yogis, you know, I feel the message of the Buddha, the message of Jesus, the message of any kind of great spiritual icon that we have was like, let's forget all the dogma and let's help people not suffer.
Truth.
And my background, I went to India for 9 years and studied Tantra in probably a more real way than most people know about me, or that most people who say they would teach Tantra or yoga would have any idea. I walked barefoot for 2 years chanting mantras. And at some point I said, you know what? I don't care about the dogma. I don't want to preach to the choir. I want the world to suffer less around this deepest human issue.
Yeah.
And I want everybody, you know, to hear that message. So I stopped fine-tuning to like, or kind of like teaching it in the traditional way, where I was attracting spiritual seekers mostly, because I found a lot of them are kind of in a loop. You know, they're going to go to my Tantra training and then someone else's Tantra training. They're like a connoisseur.
Exactly.
I don't want a connoisseur.
Specialized.
I don't want a connoisseur. I want someone who wants to break through and change their life.
So tell me about your breakthrough and how yoga first changed your life, because you hinted towards a time when you were sexually abused and yoga was literally what mended back your body and mended back your mind. It allowed you to be able to transgress that abuse and be able to move on to the beautiful person that you are today.
Well, you know, one of the things that I think, and again, if you have a yoga audience, you know, I think I got tired, even though yoga helped save me, I got tired of feeling judged in the yoga community. I felt like yoga is this inherently very sensual process. And you'll have, you know, people taking a yoga class and the teacher's pushing their hips back and down dog. And people are like, ah, and you know, releasing serotonin and dopamine and having, essentially, their brain is having an orgasm in that yoga class. But again, we don't speak openly. Oh, that's just, you know, that's your nervous system responding to stimulation and it's no big deal. And let's have appropriate boundaries and that's okay. And there's no shame. I found there still was like this huge wall of shame in yoga that when I tried to talk about sexuality, you know, people are like, oh, that you're weird, Psalm. If you feel anything sexual happening in a yoga class, you're weird.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, I think you're full of shit. And I had male yoga teachers. I was like, I clearly see you utilizing these techniques to create sensual experiences and have a room full of women like falling in love with you as their yoga teacher.
Yeah,
every down dog, like, ah,
it's chemicals.
It's chemistry in your brain. And what I believe, knowledge is power. So what I say to people is, you're having an experience right now where your brain is experiencing deep pleasure. You own it. Your body produces that. I'm going to teach you how to do a backbend. And when you do a backbend is actually inherently a very like orgasmic experience in your body. Mm-hmm. But when I would say that, people would be like, Sam's crazy in the yoga community. Like, she's too sexual. And I was like, wow, this feels just like the Christian commune I grew up on. Mm. You know, no one wants to talk about what's really going on, which is that we're all sensual beings. And I think until we own that and we become authentic, and once we own it, we can build appropriate boundaries. But because people have shame, they keep it a secret and they don't build boundaries.
Wow. And that's, I feel so evident in our community today, is that there's no sense of education about what is going on when you are feeling that chemistry take hold of your body.
Right.
And
you're, and there's a lot of acting out. How many yoga teachers are having sex with their students?
Seriously.
And then if something comes up, they're like, oh, that's a reflection of you. Mm-hmm. And then they start using all this spiritual language. They're like, oh, I'm sorry. When I had sex with you, I didn't know it would mean you would, what do they say, like project or have expectations of me. Mm-hmm. And it's all a lot of pimp game. There's pimp game outside of yoga, and now you're a yoga pimp. How many yoga teachers are running pimp game?
Yeah.
That they students. Probably aren't even aware of themselves. They're running it on their students, and they're running it on themselves.
So we
got to get real.
So let's get real.
Let's get real.
In our current yoga atmosphere, how do we educate teachers and students so that they can make more educated decisions on how they're moving forward in sexual experiences, whether they're inside classes or outside of classes?
You know, I think there has to be literally a climate change, because the problem is it goes from the top to the bottom. Mm-hmm. So the way a teacher creates the environment is how their students will respond. And I've literally been on podcasts with other teachers who are like, I don't talk about sex because I don't want to introduce that into the room. And I'm like, but it's already in the room. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? Like, not talking about it again is the same problem that the whole world has.
Ignoring the elephant in the room.
Ignoring the elephant in the room is not going to help us have elevated, enlightened, liberated lives around sex or anything else in your life. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, especially people are interested in yoga, meditation, mindfulness, that they really need a shakeup. They need to get real. I prefer to teach a housewife from the Midwest than most yoga students. And I have now yoga programs. I've taught over 10,000 people live. I spent 9 years specializing with yoga and yogis and people who are interested in tantra. And I literally got tired of it. And I said, I'm wasted here. Like, my talent is wasted here because they don't want to see the truth. It's you know, it's just like the Christian cult I grew up in. They don't want to talk about it. They want to be like, love and light, love and light. You know what? Love and light is great, because life is hard. So you need to lean to the positive and love and light. But if you can't be real and get in the emotional grit of things, like, I don't even want to talk to you. You know? Totally. And a housewife from the Midwest that most yoga people would make fun of is more real on any given day. She'll come in a class and she'll be like, my husband's cheating on me, or I can't have an orgasm, or, you know, I'm single. And, you know, that's, I can work with you.
Yeah.
You just laid your truth on the table and didn't act like you're too cool for school. And a lot of yoga people are too cool for school now.
Hmm. So for those of our listeners who are listening and they're totally not too cool for school, they know that they're in a place where they feel that they're open to learn how to deal with
those feelings that are coming up.
Because I would honestly, I'm very blessed to have this huge community of yoga listeners that write me every single day, like, great reviews on the different podcasts that we do, whether it's with Busy and...
Shout out to Busy. Yeah, that's Busy my Gold sister amazing, from another mister.
Or Kachero, or you know, Sean Korn, like, all of these amazing women just speaking their truth.
Well, and Sean Korn has a very different viewpoint on this than I do. Mm-hmm. But then again, I think we need strong teachers with different viewpoints.
Oh, totally.
I did an interview with Sean Korn one time, and she doesn't want to touch the sexual piece. And I was like, well, then I guess that's what I'm here for. Mm-hmm. You know, the universe has shipped, executed, and brought Psalm to the world to make people uncomfortable, apparently, and be controversial and talk about what no one wants to talk about, the elephant in the room. let's talk about sex and let's make our lives actually better. How do we bring, you know, this idea of liberation, enlightenment and mindfulness to sexuality? And people have to be willing. That's the first thing.
Totally. So first step is the willingness. What would first you say step is are the four next steps towards actually being more mindfully aware of sexual energy in the yoga room?
I mean, I take people through a very specific process that I've created after 10 years. So, I mean, I went to India full on. Like, I got initiated into Tantra from my guru, and I went back and forth for 9 years, sometimes 2 to 3 months at a time. I filmed a documentary working with sex workers in Kolkata. I was rubbed in ashes of dead people in a ceremony to be initiated into a very specific, like, form of Tantra and meditation. And I boiled that all down into very simple things. Now, I created O Yoga because O Yoga is my brand of taking all those things I learned and saying, here's easy steps. So what I have people do, number one, no judgment. But no judgment sounds easy, but no judgment about your body, no judgment about your sexuality. Once we get to no judgment, then you can be real and actually put up the appropriate like boundaries. Because again, if we're talking about people in the yoga community, I can't tell you how many like young girls or just women, grown women, going to yoga classes and like they're in love with the teacher or they're dating some guy and they're like, you know, but they're like, well, I guess I shouldn't expect more or, and I'm like, girl, you better expect something. You know, sex is some very strong energy.
Yeah.
And if we want to use the word karma, karma just means cause and effect. Sex is one of the biggest things you can do that will make a cause and effect in your life. So you better walk in knowing here's my expectations. Here's, you know, and let me lay them on the table. Because a lot of the spirituality is a spiritual bypass, especially around sexuality, where people don't say, this is what I want. I actually think a lot of times in the yoga community, people have shame around anything to do with power. So money, success, sex, these are all things that I think there's judgment and shame and shadow around in, you know, in the yoga universe, in the whole world, but definitely also in the yoga world.
Wow.
I mean, did people ever shame you for being successful?
I've been, yeah. I mean, on multiple occasions, I've had people, what I would call, you know, chastise me based on my success, not only on Instagram, quote unquote, but my success with my podcast, my success in my yoga practice, period.
But you know what we call them? Haters.
I would like to call them unexistent because, to be honest with you, I look
you don't
at
want
the
to feed them
who,
your energy.
Exactly. Look at the people who are excited about what I'm doing. Look at the people who are supporting what I'm doing. Look at the people like yourself who I admire, who are here, you know, giving me the time of day to be able to share the beauty of yoga with the world. Those people deserve my energy far more than any of the other people who are just trying to...
I mean, on that topic, since we went there for a minute, I was having a conversation with a girlfriend recently, and I said, when somebody gives me a lot of negativity, I very purposely have trained my mind not to think negative thoughts about them. And instead I say, bless you up and bless you away from me. I'm like, God bless you, elsewhere. But away from me. And so I'm like, I wish you happiness, prosperity, and everything you hope for. Just don't bring your face in my face. You know?
Totally.
Don't come make problems. I bless you up and away. And I think because it is, the universe does work, again, on karma or reciprocity. And if you take negative energy and return it with negative energy, it will come back to you again. It's like just bouncing a ball up and down, up and down, right? So I just try to stay very positive and focus on the positive. And when people say, you know, I'm so sensitive to negative energies, you know, you know, in the yoga community, I'm so sensitive now, or what do I do with all these emotions? And I'm like, to me, I'm like, do your practice every day, which for me is breath work, and visualize a golden like light all around you that negative energy can't even permeate. I'm like, there at least a mile in every direction 360 from me is a golden light protecting me from negative energy. And it doesn't mean I still don't feel the reverb.
Yeah.
Because to do what I do, I get a lot of judgment. you know, from the yoga world, from the regular world. I've had, and in a very real way, I've had stalkers. I've had, there's, you know, sex has been very loaded in my life,
yeah.
which is why it's so important to me and why it's my mission. Mm-hmm. Because I had sexual abuse, because I've had these continuing problems, I'm like, we have to bring this out of the shadow and into the light. It's even, every time I face an obstacle, like a year ago, I had a stalker who like broke in my car and left a meat hook, which was terrifying.
Oh my god!
Like, I mean, literally, your life's fine until you're
yeah, your afraid life is threatened.
Your life is threatened and there's a crazy person hunting you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm busy all day. I don't have time to think all day about that because I'm trying to accomplish things and that crazy person is only thinking
yeah.
about, you know, doing crazy horrible things to me that I don't want to think about. But you know, it's when that happened, I remember having this thought and I was like, my own shame came through. I remember thinking, oh, Sam, it's because you're doing Playboy. Sam, it's because you're talking about sex. It's because of how you dress. And I remember I just interrupted that thought. And I was like, that is not true because I was molested when I was 5 wearing a bonnet and a long dress.
Yeah.
So it's not what I'm wearing. It's that it's inherently a problem in the world. And it's clearly my dharma or my role in this world to have faced that from when I was 5 until now. And continually be revisited by it so that I can feel the pain enough to like have empathy to keep trying to bring other people solutions
wow.
to have healthy sexual lives.
Wow.
And to not have shame.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think even that guy who is stalking me probably has deep patterns of shame around his sexuality, which is causing him to act out in violent ways.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, until we get real about sex and sexuality, and drop the shame and stop pretending it's not there. Again, the elephant in the room, we just see all these patterns keep repeating. But I'm like fully committed. Before I die, this whole chessboard's gonna look different. I'm changing laws. I'm gonna bring sex ed to like, if I can't bring it to public schools, I'm gonna have it in a cloud because that's knowledge beautiful. Is power.
It's the truth.
That is the truth.
So you had mentioned a few steps for people to be able to actually talk about sex in class. And, mm-hmm. you know, one of them was obviously de-shaming it altogether.
Yep.
Now, what are some of the other...
Well, number one, no judgment. Mm-hmm. Number two, be honest with yourself and own what you want. Like I was saying, that's what people do with sex. Like, I had a girl write into my Mind Body Green weekly sex column, and she was like, you know, I have sex with my boyfriend, and I don't have orgasms, but I don't want to say that to him because it seems too personal. And I was like, okay, like, I'm about to give you some tough love, girl.
Yeah.
I was like, you already pulled your pants down. You let him put his pee in your V. So at that point, it's already been really personal. Now, how crazy is it that we live in a world that's not personal?
Mm-hmm.
That's not too personal. Taking off your clothes and being naked and penetrated, that's not too personal. But then having an honest conversation about what you want,
yeah.
that's too personal. So that's the problem is in this world, people are like acting, it's upside down. It's literally upside down because when you really look at it, it's just crazy. It's like, actually, you should have a conversation with your boyfriend
yeah.
about sex and not just keep pulling your pants down and being unhappy.
Exactly.
You know, which is what so many people are doing. So A, no judgment, no shame around your own sexuality. And then be honest about what you want. And then build healthy boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And then use your voice.
Use your voice. Wow.
And then be in your body and own it.
Mm-hmm. So those are the 5 steps.
I think so.
Awesome. So from there, I find so often nowadays in a society that people have become desensitized from sex. Or maybe it's from
I feel like they weren't
acts.
Sensitized in the first place. So what happens now is I have people all the time going, oh, porn has desensitized people. People were not feeling in the first place. People had shame and were disconnected. I was like, our grandparents were not connected, mm-hmm. right? Before porn, our grandparents weren't learning how to be intimate properly
yeah.
and be connected. Like on a deep level. So
what is being connected on a deep level?
I think being connected on a deep level to me, it isn't this romantic idea a lot of people have. It's actually, again, looking at somebody and being able to say, these are my desires.
Mm.
These are the things I want. And I'm going to say it out loud. I'm going to ask you, I'm not going to play some game. I'm not going to role play, you know, masculine, feminine, like you're a soul. Mm-hmm. Your soul came here for a purpose. And sexual energy is one of the most powerful energies you have and one of the most loaded energies you have. And if you can't be straight up honest about that, then I think your soul is going to have a hard time living its purpose.
Mm.
And I see a lot of people ending up putting things in these buckets. You know, it's let's scapegoat porn. Let's scapegoat the internet. Let's scapegoat, you know, let's, everything's, you know, or I like get my, one of my biggest annoyances in the world is that whole like masculine feminine, because it's so funny. Like if a woman takes a leadership role or a warrior role, people be like, oh, that's a masculine energy. And it cracks me up because I'm like, do you know what the most aggressive energy on this planet is? a female mother.
Yep.
You mess with put any harm in the way of a female and her child. That is the most aggressive and warrior-like energy you will ever see in the world. And who exhibits like energy of leadership? Also very female.
Mm-hmm.
But we have been so brainwashed that there's people running around teaching these courses on like male and female dynamics and the masculine and the feminine. And they're just repeating the same corny shit that's been on TV since the 1950s.
Yep.
And people are so sad and scared and desperate and alone that they'll buy and eat any of the same corny crap that they've been buying forever. But you just put a spiritual label on it. So instead of telling the woman, you know, like, oh, stay at home and cook, you know, you're like, well, the feminine would blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But I say, hey, let's actually logically break down why you call masculine this and feminine this. Tantra that I learned in India, what was so fascinating is that the fire energy was the female. Mm. The energy to desire and to create and to be and willfulness was female. And the masculine was Shiva, who sat and was the silent observer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that when people say masculine and feminine in pop culture and even spiritual culture, they're saying the exact opposite. They're like, the female energy is passive. The female energy is receptive. Mm-hmm. The masculine energy is the one who's supposed to take action, show leadership. And I think we're just humans. You know, like, how do we get to the level that we're human beings owning our sexuality and not play these like corny role play anymore? Mm-hmm. I feel like it's 2016. Can we wake up?
Yeah.
Can we, like, you look at countries that are more progressive, like you go to Norway, they have like naked people on what we would consider quote unquote porn at night on TV. Kids grow up watching it. Do they, their cultures have less rape and less sexual violence?
Because they're aware of it.
Because they just see it. It's normalized.
Yeah.
And so when a young boy would grow up watching these like images of naked women, or he knows, you know what? Just because I'm aroused doesn't mean I can't control myself and I might rape that.
Mm-hmm.
Actually says, oh, maybe I'm aroused and I just have to breathe deep and control myself. Is it appropriate? Is it not appropriate? And so I think we have a counterpoint to that that's kind of scary as you go to the other side of the world. I was in a refugee camp in Athens, and I met one of the refugees who was a Yazidi, which is, he was Christian from Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
So the other, even Muslims there, you know, had a bias against him. And he said, ISIS came into my village and they raped the women like they were animals, like they were pigs. And they said, they're not real people because they're not, because they're Christian, because they're not our religion.
Mm-hmm.
So what's so interesting to me, there you see this whole ideology where the women are covered head to toe to respect them, but the minute you don't follow their rules, they just rape them and say you're not a real person.
Hmm.
And that's one of, again, there's a lot of this still going on in the world. So what I want to bring is that more progressive, you know, that we, it's already been tested, right? We can see that the places in the world where they're more sexually open, we have less sexual violence and problems. So let's take that. And let's scale that.
Mm-hmm.
So my goal is to scale sexual education, normalize the like the body, especially the female body. So I do things that other people, you know, are just funny, right? I do Free the Nipple Fridays, and you know, like, I'm like, life is short. You might as well have fun. And I have a lot more fun when I'm running around naked anyway. I only put on clothes because, you know, other people can't handle it.
Yeah, I feel you. I feel you. I feel very much so the same way.
Right?
Often, like, people always ask me why I practice in small shorts. And I'm like, Well, the practice of yoga is to free your body and mind. Why wouldn't I want to be?
I mean, no, I'm not saying I want to be in a room with you where you're doing down dog with your dick out. I didn't say that, Andrew.
My penis is fully concealed in my shorts. I promise
okay,
you
thank,
that.
Thank God.
I'm tasteful.
Thank God. Yes, yeah, tasteful. It's such a fine line. This is so saying. Because you have to be careful what you wish for, isn't it? If I tell everybody to take their clothes off, I don't. There's a lot of people I don't want to see them naked. I'm going to be fully honest. I know that, you know, I've been sounding very like I'm taking the high road, but it's true.
All within taste. Yes.
All within tastefulness. But no, I mean, I do think, you know, children, look at little kids running around naked. They're so innocent. Mm-hmm. And we've lost innocence. Yeah. Around sexuality so much and have so much shame and it's so loaded and then again causing so much unhappiness, sexless marriage, porn addiction, like, you know, all of these things. It's just so crazy to me. So on my board, you know, I decided, we were talking about yoga, I decided I'm not going to focus my efforts preaching to the choir so much in the yoga community. Now I've created tantra programs that anybody can do. They're global now. Mm-hmm. I did a massive launch with over 3,000 people globally did my Tantra Touch launch this last June that I partnered with a company called Mind Valley, and they have a global reach, like a list of 1.6 million. And so I purposely chose, I'm like, how do I find the largest partners to bring this knowledge and technology so I'm not just stuck preaching to the choir?
Yeah.
And then I worked with the largest people in the mindfulness category, which is like Mind Valley, Mind Body Green. Mm-hmm. They're my partners. And then I worked with Playboy, which is fully mainstream, and some people judge that. And I was like, if somebody goes to turn on Playboy and would normally get, you know, some crap with a woman pretending to have an orgasm, and I can teach you something real about soulful sexuality all day long. Yeah. I'm not judging that person. I'm here to help that person. I'm here to help the yoga person. I'll help the Playboy person. I don't care. Mm-hmm. I'm here to help humans. You know, so I did Playboy, and then I just did a CNN episode with... you know, that's going to come out in the fall. That's on a show that Lisa Ling does. And that was really exciting because I'm going even more mainstream.
Yeah.
So I'm fully going mainstream now. So I kind of like scaled the largest mindfulness categories. And then I'm now scaling mainstream and bringing them a better burger when it comes to sex.
I don't eat burgers, but I will eat your veggie.
Well, you'll
burger.
Eat a veggie burger. Do you see what I'm saying?
The so
what, here's what I'm saying. No, the V burger. I think there was a dirty joke in there. He said he'd eat my V burger.
It's
not vegan. It's fully paleo. My vegan burger is fully paleo.
The real question is, what is sacred sexuality?
I think that sacred sexuality is any time that people are, again, in their own awareness, that they're connected on a mind, body, and soul level, first with themselves. No shame, own your game, ask for what you want, don't have hidden agendas, don't do a spiritual bypass, and it doesn't even matter if they call it like sacred spirituality. Mm. It's just realness.
Yeah.
You know what sacred is? Realness. Do you know what people have done? They hijack the term spiritual and they use it for spiritual bypass. Real spirituality is know thyself, do no harm, or do as little harm as possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, own your shit. It's exhausting to me, you know, when we hijack these terms. It's like, oh, well, I do sacred sexuality. I'm like, any human being who's willing to look at someone else and be honest, or even just themselves. Sacred spirituality could be masturbating, you know, just like being real.
Yeah.
With yourself, I'm masturbating. So a lot of people, like, again, let's talk about like the phenomenon of porn scaling as big as it is. So, you know, everybody's like, porn's the problem. No, the problem is a lack of education and the same shame we always had that's now scaled with more availability of porn. But the issue is, you take a boy who's 14, 15, having sexual urges. His biology is he wakes up, he already is like having wet dreams.
Yeah,
and then
he's got a boner when
he's already
wakes
got
up.
A boner. This is life. You got a wood, no biggie. Okay, and
breathe.
This is where you need tantra. Inhale, exhale, train your dick. Mm-hmm. We would live in a different world if men trained their dicks instead of told women to cover their bodies. That's one of my basic tenets.
Truth.
Can you imagine the world we live in if we actually taught men how to train their dicks.
Truth.
That's sacred spirituality to me. If you can get men to actually own their junk, mm-hmm. and women too, but I just mean like, it's so crazy to me, but you take that boy and he starts going online and looking at porn, and if he already had shame and can't talk about it, now he's secretly watching porn. Then he jerks off, then he has an orgasm, then he feels bad about it, then he hates himself, then he's ashamed, then he has secrecy, and then that causes more tension, which means he goes and does it again. Mm-hmm. So any behavior pattern like that is happening because the shame, the issue to me is the shame.
Yeah.
So there's nothing wrong with mastering. Sacred sexuality can literally start with you not having shame around your own sexual energy and desires, but then learning to control it, to create boundaries, to be honest with other partners, to be honest with yourself. That's, to me, sacred sexuality.
Hmm. I like that a lot. I really do.
Realness.
Realness is the truth.
Like hey, Buddha, Jesus, all the great ones. Mm-hmm. They came with realness.
It's the truth. So in today's current society,
Kanye. Jesus.
Jesus.
Goodness. All the great ones. Jesus. I'm the Jesus. I'm the vagina Jesus.
Oh my goodness. The Jesus.
Save those vaginas. Is it like I teach these women's weekends where we talk about sexuality. I have one woman, she was 53 years old before she had an orgasm. Wow. And what people don't understand, and she was on CNN, they said, can you show us an example of someone who's very relatable? And I was like, see, now people would say, oh, her life was fine, she just didn't have an orgasm. No, her life wasn't fine. Her not having an orgasm was a reflection of so many things in her life mm-hmm. not being fine. And she started taking my program, and then she came up to me and she's like, Tom, I had my first orgasm ever. She's 53, she already had kids. She was a grandma. She's hot as, well, she's a gilf, okay? a milf, but a gilf. Oh, first of all, goodness. Hot as, because I do a lingerie photo shoot as part of helping women open up to their sexuality. And she came in her lingerie, and I'm like, this is one of my favorite things too, is people are like, oh my God, you look so good. Cause you know, I'm 40. They'll be like, oh, you look so good for 40. And I'm like, bitch, what do you think 40 look like? What standards? I eat good. I do yoga. Challenge the perspective. Cause this is 40. If you take care of yourself, mm-hmm. but people like don't, you know, they don't hold high standards or don't expect much. This woman did not expect to ever have an orgasm.
Yeah.
And what happened was when she had her orgasm, everything else in her life changed. She had been stuck living in a place and wanting to like move, but she was scared. She was stuck. Her like creative, sexual energy is creative energy. So as soon as she's like, has an orgasm, she's like a week later, she sold her house when she like literally listed it on Facebook and was like, now I'm going to have to go get a real realtor. It sold within days.
Wow.
Then she moved where she wanted to. Now she's like painting. Now she's one of my coaches. So she's going out in the world and teaching other women. And when we got to the real story, why she couldn't have orgasm, because here's the question, why? And I put people in what I call, I have a whole sequence when people work with me, and I do something called a hot seat. And I put her in the hot seat, and I had her like identify where in her body she felt uncomfortable when we were talking about sex. And put her hand on that place where she felt uncomfortable, and then breathe into that, and then describe to me what I call the Polaroid moment. And I said, what do you see? And people always start going like, oh, well, blah, blah. I'm like, I don't want to hear that. That's boring. Describe what you see visually. And then they go, well, blah, blah. I'm like, nope, stop. Tell me what you see. And she described that when she was 12 and at summer camp, a 19-year-old counselor had come in, and she said, and he made out with me. And I said, okay, how did the other girls treat you after that? And she said, well, they called me a slut. Mm-hmm. So she was slut shamed. And so from 12 years old to 53, she never let herself enjoy sex because this 19-year-old camp counselor kind of had preyed on her. Mm. And then the other girls, instead of defending her or helping her, slut shamed her, and she shut down. Now, she didn't stop having sex. She went and got married. She had kids. She had lots of sex, but no sex she enjoyed. Mm-hmm. No sex. You know what you're saying? People are desensitized. People have been desensitized. When were they sensitized?
Yeah.
When is this golden age of humanity where people were having great connected sex and being honest?
Yeah.
It never existed. We have to make it now. But so she, she's So she's 53. And when we get to the bottom of that story, and then I said, okay, but her voice was like, she's like, well, he did this. And I said, you don't sound angry enough to me. If he did that to you and those girls slut shame you, I need you to express your anger to move on, to have a breakthrough. And so I said, I'm going to role play with you, because she couldn't do it.
Yeah.
She had no permission. Do you understand? People have these things locked in their bodies. The issues are in the tissues, and they have zero permission
to be able to break loose,
to say, or even say the fucking truth of what happened to them. I was abused or something. Like, she felt guilty for that and ashamed her whole life, so she can't say anything. So then I said, I'm going to role play with you. I'm the camp counselor, and I'm standing right in front of you. And she started to get really uncomfortable. Her eyes started, like, fluttering. She had rapid eye movement, which is good. It means we're about to have a breakthrough, to reprogram the robot. So I'm like, okay, I'm the camp counselor. I'm standing in front of you. I need the 53-year-old woman to get in there and tell him what the 12-year-old couldn't say. Because you're 53 now. And you took my program, and you're strong enough, and I need you to go pick up that 12-year-old and say to him what she couldn't say. And she said, you had no right to put your fingers in my vagina. And I was like, okay, that's certainly an escalation from when she said he made out with her.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said that she had, you had no right to have sex with me, basically. So in that moment, we realized she was raped, and she'd felt ashamed all those years, hidden it in herself, was slut-shamed by the other girls, and then from 12 to 53, never had an orgasm and never really got to enjoy sex. Isn't that sad?
Yeah.
Like, that was stolen from her. So when I say, like, people talk about, and you would normally talk to, like, a therapist, or she'd go to a yoga class, and people are like, well, everything else is fine, she just can't have an orgasm. No, that is the basic human building block. Yeah. I promise you, how your sex life is how your whole life is. And that's the first place to dig in. And that's the last place anyone wants to go.
Yeah. And
because there's so much shadow. Can you
talk more about that? Because honestly, there's not only females, but a lot of males who I've met who I would feel are sexually deprived. Sexually deprived, and honestly have not understood.
I feel so bad for men. No, honestly, I'm going to tell you, because it sounds like I'm coming from a female perspective.
I'm a man, and I'm like, I'm teaching yoga classes, and the thing that I get the most is, oh my goodness, dude, like, how you must get so much pussy. How do you
well, even first touch of all yoga teachers women? Do get too much pussy. Okay, no, haha. Let me just say, I have a whole thing. I'm like, there's a loophole in the system that, like, a guy who couldn't get all that pussy, if he becomes a yoga teacher, will get, it will rain pussy.
Don't say that. Don't say
that. Well, it's wrong.
Don't say that.
We need to be more aware. Yes. No, but it's true. You know it's the truth. However, the women, the pussy you're going to get is highly neurotic emotionally, so you'll pay for it.
This is my argument, that men who are more in touch with themselves will then become more in touch with feminine. Which is...
Yeah, but again, my point was, you take a bunch of women, you stick them in a room, you have them do their deep breathing, go into down dog, they're going to fall in love with their teacher a lot. So if you're a man and you become a yoga teacher, if you're real with yourself, you'll understand, you know what, those are the chemicals in their brain. But yeah. I think a lot of, again, because there's denial of it, male yoga teachers are like, no, that's not happening. Because why? Because they feel guilty.
Yeah.
Why? Because we can't talk about it. Mm-hmm. Why? Because we have shame. So back to the original issues again.
Yeah.
But I mean, really, a male yoga teacher will have a lot of women in his room and a lot more pussy than an average guy. Yes. However, like I said, it will be highly neurotic and emotional pussy. Mm-hmm. So you will pay for that pussy.
Truth.
You will pay for that pussy by having to hear long conversations about how intense their emotions are and, like, what the moon is doing right now. So you might want to think twice before you go be a pussy pimp in a yoga class. I don't know.
Truth be told.
Because I'll tell you, I'm a female, and when I lead these classes, I see the women, anyone starts looking at you like they're in love with you because you're making their brain work. You know, they're like, serotonin, dopamine, I feel so good. It's her. Yeah. It's Sam. It's Andrew. And I'm like, nope, that's you. That's your body. That's your power.
Love yourself.
I'm giving it to you. I'm telling you how to do it. Now go take it home. Love yourself and, like, make love to other people.
Yeah.
But I don't need your adulation.
Yeah.
I really don't. I want you to be free, because if you start Here's the thing. If they start adulating you, you're never free.
Exactly. And that's...
If you fall in love with them being in love with you...
It's empowerment.
Yeah.
You have to allow that energy to be their empowerment, to allow them to be able to break through their own mental... whatever they be.
Constructs or projections onto you. Like, because most people are going to come into any therapy session or yoga class and play the mommy daddy game.
Yeah, where you have all the answers.
Well, because none of us, I think, I mean, there might be a very few people in the world, but most of us weren't given, our parents weren't perfect, right? So all of us have a mommy daddy issue somewhere. Mm-hmm. And then you go into like a yoga class and you project, oh, they're so nurturing. Mm-hmm. Oh, or they're so caring. Or, oh, that's the man I never had in my life. Or, you know, and you have to understand that that's just part of their growing.
Yeah.
You know, that they start to see that, become aware of it. And what I do is I always try and give it back to them. It's not about me. It's about you. It's not about me. It's about you.
Yeah.
This is about you, you know, healing your own inner child.
So.
And not attaching that to me as your mommy or your daddy as a yoga teacher.
Truth.
Like the woman, the 53-year-old who had an orgasm, she had to heal her inner 12-year-old.
So with the men that I feel they don't even... There's a lot of men out there that don't have the constructs and the proper vocabulary to be able to enunciate and articulate what they want in a female. And I feel that there's a lot of women out there that don't have the vocabulary or the experience.
But I would back that up to saying I think most people don't know how to say what they want for themselves. Mm. So now you've multiplied the problem, right? If I don't know what I want for me... And now I'm running around trying to date.
Yeah.
That same problem I had in myself, again, has scaled to double because now there's two of us.
Yeah.
It's like saying porn isn't the problem. The shame that started before porn is the problem, but porn has created a scale that has escalated.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I think men don't know what they want in a woman because they don't know what they want for themselves.
Exactly.
And again, going back to they're ashamed to admit what they really want and say it out loud. We've all been conditioned to play these silly, corny role play games.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult to break free from that. But that's what has to happen, because until you know what you want and you can own it and then ask somebody for it, no, as a man, you don't know what you want from women. And as women, you don't know what you want from a man because you don't even know what you want for yourself. You can't even tell yourself the truth.
So my next question is, what are three tips that you can give to our listeners, man or female, to help them learn what they want for themselves first, and then what they want in a relationship second?
I would say, you know, I take people through that exercise. So I say, identify your sex route, number one. So that's an exercise I take people through.
What is a sex route?
So what environment did you grow up in? Was it positive to sexuality? Was there a lot of shame around your sexuality? Identify your parents' attitudes about sex, if you grew up in a religion, the attitudes about sex, the school you grew up in, everything leading up to puberty is very informative. So kind of even knowing, you know, just last week I did a TV show for Playboy as a guest sex expert, and this girl's one of their models running around the room naked. She looks super open sexually, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's naked. She's running around everybody like, oh, what a sexy girl. She comes up to me. She's like, I have to ask for your help. She's like, I have she cannot have sex. She has a condition that 1 in 2,000 women have that, like, her vagina clamps down, the muscles clamp down, and she cannot be penetrated.
Wow.
Yes. So that's very, but here she is naked on Playboy.
Mm-hmm.
So outside, she looks very sexually open.
Yeah.
And she said to me, I don't know why. And I went to the doctor and he gave me a kit, but it made me feel bad about myself, like I'm broken.
Aww.
And I said, don't worry. I've worked with a lot of people who've had this. First of all, one of the first things I say to people is normalize things. You're not alone. There's no shame. There's a lot of people like you. That's one of the first things I always say. Again, no judgment, no shame. Especially around sexuality, you'll have 10 people in a room with the same issue all sitting there going, I'm the weirdo, I'm the pervert, or I'm the broken girl. You know, and yet there's so many of you. Mm-hmm. So the first thing I try and say is understand there's lots of other women just like you. They may not be Playboy. She's an extreme example because she's doing Playboy, right? Running around naked, but can't have sex. Literally running around naked and her vagina can't open.
Mm.
Like, think about that. That is deep.
Yeah.
There was a dirty joke there too, but I'm not going to
I understand.
Yes, can't go deep. And so But what, so it was so, so I started talking to her and I sent her my women's jade egg tantra course. I said, I'm going to give you my course for free. And basically she's going to learn to start breathing and identifying the issues and then doing root locks. So that's how I teach people how to, you know, squeeze, you know, the secret Mula Bandha. Squeeze. Yeah. The problem with, you know, in yoga, people say Mula Bandha, but again, because they're ashamed to talk about sex.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, it's like at your belly button.
Yeah.
Like
rather than.
Dude, I went to India and I went and sat in like with dreaded like yogis and smoked opium and like read the really old scriptures. And I promise you, like they were like, squeeze your vagina, squeeze your penis muscles.
Yeah.
The oldest texts, Hatha Yoga Pradipika. Mm-hmm. The first thing you learned to do was control your pelvic floor.
Yeah.
Before you learned any other asana. Mm-hmm. And now in America, people are like, oh, the Upanishads. The Upanishads have nothing to do with physical yoga.
Yoga, exactly.
Do you understand? The oldest text on physical yoga is called the Hatha Yoga Pradipika. And the first thing it does is say, train your pelvic floor.
Mm-hmm.
Train your penis. Train your vagina. Learn what you want. Learn why you have this desire. Control your sexual energy. Own it. Be honest.
Yep.
Right? The A number one, before you do a back bend, before you do down dog, you know, like train your pelvic floor, train your sexuality. That is the number one thing in old school yoga.
Yeah.
And it has been, again, at least 3,000 years of systematic repression, oppression, and shaming around sexuality mm-hmm. that has broken that.
So tell me a little bit about the oldest text of yoga that actually speaks about the root lock.
Well, it's not even that it speaks about the root lock. What is so crazy to me, again, is that we live in an upside-down world with these elephants in the room. And you have people walking around going, this is what yoga is. And they don't even know what yoga is. Like they studied from teachers in America who were passed down certain texts. Mm-hmm. I was very curious. So I went all the way to India. I was like, no, no, take me to your leaders. I'm going to go dig into the deepest, oldest roots of this stuff.
Yeah.
And what I found is the oldest texts on physical yoga or Hatha yoga, which when you say yoga, most people, that's what they think it means.
Yes.
Was called the Hatha Yoga Pradipika. Mm-hmm. And the Hatha Yoga Pradipika, the very first thing you learn to do is how to separate the three parts of your pelvic floor. It's not just root lock. Mm. So you learn how to control the urethra muscle. So for men or women, that would be the tip of your penis or the tip of your vagina, how to pull that muscle in and up. And lift that energy to the crown of your head and send it back down. Then you learn what we call root lock, which would be the PC muscles for men or the Kegels for women, mm-hmm. and how to pull those muscles up. And so you feel this little like internal turn on, which in Sanskrit would be your Kundalini or your Shakti, getting engaged. But that turn on makes you a more creative, more electric, more bright human being with more energy.
Yep.
So again, the sexual energy isn't about sex. And then they taught you how to do Ashwini Mudra, which was for your anus and how to squeeze that muscle. And before you were allowed, old school yoga, before you could do down dog or any physical asana or sun salutation, Surya Namaskar, you had to learn to control these three parts of your pelvic floor.
Hmm.
So how fascinating is it that that's now the last thing anyone would ever learn? And why? Because of shame around sexuality. Because of the shadow around sexuality.
Tables have been turned.
Tables have been turned, and then people are repeating misinformation, is what I saw. And then I, like I said, then I come in and they're like, oh, Sam, you're so crazy talking about sex. And I'm like, actually, I'm just old school. I'm as old school as you get. Like, I went all the way back to the oldest text. And I said, I see a lot of people taking yoga trainings now. And they'll say, oh, the Vedic text, the Upanishads, you know, like, they act like those are the OG yoga texts. Those were for seated meditation.
Exactly.
That's why they don't talk about your body.
Yeah.
They were for Raja Yoga or learning to leave your body.
Exactly.
Now, I believe.
Astral traveling.
I believe that, unfortunately, that is the whole tilt that happened where we became disembodied. So the whole world took a patriarchal turn historically, like 3,000 years ago, where everybody started valuing being disembodied over being embodied. And what makes you embodied is the feminine energy of sexuality. So that got demonized.
Mm.
And then all these spiritual, like Judaism, Christianity, even Hinduism, Buddhism, they all became very masculine. And people haven't even really noticed because the bias is so strong. You never question the bias you're born with.
Yeah.
So again, they're like, oh, well, that's the way it is. But actually what the bias is that it's a problem being in a human body. My sexuality is a problem. I'm ashamed of it. So I really just wish I could spiritually bypass everything. Hmm. I wish I could just like disembody myself all the time. And that's where you meet people who, you know, do yoga and go on juice fast and they're just not actually grounded. Yep,
totally.
And they think they're like, I'm so present. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you are not present at all.
Yeah. You're up there in the clouds.
First of all, you can't carry water for anyone.
Mm.
Do you know that term?
Not exactly.
So carrying water is from like African villages. So, or Indian. So go back to a time when, if you lived in a village, the village needs water.
Yes.
And they had to go get water and carry it on their heads.
Yep.
Not everyone was strong enough to carry water.
Mm.
Some people carried more water for other people.
Yeah.
So if you're somebody who's meant to carry water, you know, I believe I'm here to carry a lot of water.
Truth.
And so whenever I start feeling sorry for myself and I'm like, oh, people are judging me, or oh, I had a rough day being a sex expert, you know, I'm like, Psalm, you're here to carry water.
Yeah.
Go lift more weights tomorrow.
Straight
Make
up.
Your hamstrings strong, because you better.
Stronger.
Guess what? Get stronger. When life gets tough,
you get stronger.
Get stronger. And when negativity comes at me, make more positive energy. Like literally manufacture it. I manufacture positive energy.
Yep.
Like right now, wait, hold on. Talk about Mulabandha. I am now squeezing my Kegel muscles tantrically. I just manufactured a lot of positive energy. Not just for me. It's starting to fill the whole room. And I do this all the time. You're welcome, world. You're welcome.
And your smile is contagious, for sure.
But I think we're talking about sex, but really we're talking about human evolution. So again, like, if your soul came here to do something, if you have a purpose, which I believe everyone does, but a lot of people are drinking NyQuil.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't want to wake up. Or they wake up, but they stay in the same kind of pattern, right? So it's like, you know, you take someone who was never allowed to express their trauma. That 53-year-old woman could never talk about that subject. But then they'll go to therapy and they start talking about it, and then they define themselves by that. I'm the person who had that trauma. I'm the person who had that trauma. That's why I can't do this. That's why I can't. And I'm like, my trauma was my trajectory. You know, I had a moment this year on my birthday. I gave a talk for Mind Body Green at Revitalize, and I was I'd like peeing my pants on the way to do it.
Wow. 'Cause
I was like, I'm going to tell this in a way I never have. It's not interesting to me if it's not my edge. I tell people, I am not on the razor's edge. I am the blade. You know, like, we are bringing a paradigm shift no one has seen. Therefore, if you are not peeing your pants, you are not awake.
Straight up.
Okay.
I always say, if you're not living life on the edge, then you're taking up too much space.
But I was like, I'm not even on the edge. I'm the blade.
You
are. I'm the machete. I'm clearing the way for the others who can come after easier.
Mm-hmm.
But I was going to give this talk, and one of my coaches, who's coached like, I don't even know how many millionaires and billionaires, he goes, here's the difference between people who get things done, executors, and people who don't, who always have their dreams that are never accomplished. Because the difference is, the people who execute while they pee their pants.
Mm.
He goes, he's old school. He's like, I was in the army. He's like, I was in the army, and there was a day where we had to like practice throwing grenades, and you can't practice throwing a grenade except by throwing a grenade. And he's like, there were days that people would get blown up and die practicing throwing a grenade. You weren't even at war, but that's the only way to learn. And he said, you would stand there. And he's like, it doesn't matter if you pee your pants, you're going to learn how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And he said, people who execute, the people you see doing the things you wish you were doing, or living the life you wish you lived, or being the entrepreneur that you wish you were. I walked onto stage to give a talk, and I'm like, Psalm, you can pee your pants, but you're going to get up there and do it.
Yeah.
Because, and if I'm not close to peeing my pants, it's probably not interesting. You know, but it's like, luckily I didn't really pee my pants, but you know, like just that feeling of raw, like terror of my own psyche.
Yeah.
Being like a new like layer of my psyche being peeled open is like, and having that vulnerability, or like, oh, that raw moment.
Totally.
So intense. And I went on that stage and I gave a talk, and in that talk, I was very clear that it was my father who molested me. And that I don't always share that because sometimes it's so heavy that other people can't hear the rest of my message. You know, so it's not even about me a lot of the time, but I made that choice in that talk because I said it is actually, again, very common that it's a family member. And then, so even within the world of sexual trauma, people say I had sexual trauma, but then it's even harder to say it was your own family. So in destigmatizing and de-shaming, I was like, the reason why I'm going to say that, it's not I want to punish my father, it's not that I want to like, I'm saying this to give permission to anyone else. And there's a very large percentage, 1 in 3 women at least have had sexual trauma or abuse, and a large percentage of that is from their own family members. So I was like, I'm up here to, I'm saying that to give you permission. I'm saying that I'll put myself on the front line. I'll be incredibly uncomfortable giving this talk. I'll cry in the room before I go there. But I'm going to get on that stage and I'm going to give this talk for everyone else who this can be useful to. Because I certainly didn't live through everything I lived through to not be of purpose to other people. You know, there's that one song, right? There's a rap song. He's like, I'm on fire because I already been to hell and back.
Straight up.
So I got up and I gave that talk and I went back to my room. And it was my birthday. And I said, what an elegant universe. Like, I truly believe the universe is so elegant. If you wake up and you want to live your soul's purpose, this elegant universe sends you storyline after storyline and player. Like, you know, I'm going to introduce you to so-and-so. Yep. Because it's elegant. The universe is a beautiful, elegant movie.
That is true.
And we're all here playing these roles. And once you really wake up and want to do it and you execute your role, whether you're peeing your pants or not, mm-hmm. that's when really interesting scenes start happening. You're like, oh, now I'm moving. Like my like before that, you're like, the character is like, why can't I get out of this one scene? You know what I mean? Like over and over again.
Over the wall.
Yeah. Or you're like, why do I keep dating women I don't like? Why can't I attract a man I like? And this is where people are a broken record.
Scoot a little.
But like I'm saying, the minute that people actually like wake up, mm-hmm. you will start having new scenes in your movie and the movie gets interesting. Other than that, you're like replaying the same old show. But I go back to my room and it was very intense. I give this talk and people were coming up and hugging me after.
Yeah.
But I was like, it wasn't that. I was just like, I'm raw right now. And then I went to my room after everybody like came up and hugged me and were like, oh, we're so moved by what you said. And it's almost like, yeah, I'm so glad they're moved. But like I myself saw them in this little body and like feeling very like exposed.
Yeah.
And so I went up to my room and I sat there and it was like, I had this moment. It was almost like all of that lubricated a breakthrough for me because I had gotten an email from my father that morning, which I do once a year on my birthday, where he won't meet me in person. He's the one who abused me, but he won't meet me in person because he's hiding. And he sent me a thing saying, I'm sorry, I wasn't a better father. But to me, that's still, I'm like, but all I've asked you for is now to sit down and have a cup of coffee and have closure. And if you can't do that, I don't want this email.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is still about you, not me. So I'd gotten that email before I went on stage. You know what I mean? Like, that could have broken me years ago. But I saw the email. I was like, I'm going to execute whether I'm peeing my pants or not. I'm here to give this talk. It's like, I'm going to go do that. I did it. I came back to my room and I had a moment. And I literally, without thinking, pulled out that email and I sent him a thing. I said, what you did is not okay. And I will spend the rest of my life and every day of my life fighting that no one else ever has to experience sexual trauma. Everything I do, I will fight for that. I will put myself on the front line for that. I will be the machete. But I said, I also acknowledge that you made me who I am. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
So even the people who've caused us, I think, our greatest harms are sometimes the person who made us into superheroes.
Truth be told.
So not that I would say that's so, no spiritual bypass, like that's okay. And it's okay what he did. No, it's not okay, but it happened.
And
because it happened, and because I didn't buckle, and because I wasn't crushed by it, even though I was suicidal. I was like, I almost died. And then something woke up and we said, no, you're not here to die. You're here to change the world and yourself. And after that, I was like, then it's simple. You know what I mean? Every single day, I know what I'm here to do when I wake up. Because if that didn't take me down, nothing's taking me down.
That's beautiful that experience made you the strong woman that you are today?
Well, I am what I am. Right? That's, I sometimes like, know thyself. That's like the Popeye, right?
Yeah.
I'm not, you know, that's what I was saying. Know who you are. Be authentic. Be real. The Greek philosophers had this really great thing. They said, like, so every spiritual philosophy is just a Socratic method.
Mm-hmm.
So the Greeks had a Socratic method, and they would say, know thyself. So I feel like I'm not perfect, but I know myself. You know what I mean? I know what drives me. I know when I see myself going in the wrong direction. You know what I mean? Like, because I try, and sometimes I don't. Sometimes I actually have a blind spot, but then I try and know I have a blind spot. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, don't be ashamed to admit who you are, what you're doing, what your deeper drivers are, you know? And some of my very deep drivers come from those old traumas. So I try and like know them, pay attention to what I'm doing with them. Am I pointing that in a direction to be positive and useful to myself and other people? Or am I pointing that accidentally in the direction to, you know, like have addictive behaviors or self-destructive behaviors? And I try and just be aware of that. But again, I think you have to first be real.
Yeah.
You have to be willing to say, I have certain tendencies, habits, behaviors, deeper drivers.
So this segues us into what I would call like just the golden nuggets, like the things that you would share to
I've given so many golden here. Nuggets already. I know, you've asked me for tips and tricks. More do you want from me, Andrew?
All I want
more golden nuggets?
Just the last one. The last one that you can give to our listeners to help them.
Just own it, baby.
Yeah?
Golden nugget. Hashtag own it.
Own it.
No judgment. No shame. Be real. Know who you are. Identify like the roots of your drivers, desires, you know, your sexuality. Be real about it. Own it. And then go get what you want for real. Instead of replaying and rehashing and reenacting broken scenes, you know, from these places in your life that you still haven't owned. That's my golden nugget. Hashtag own it and go get it.
You hear that, yoga revealers? The golden nugget has been revealed.
And own it and go get it.
We are all...
And ask for it. And then touch yourself. Treat yourself.
We are all better.
Hashtag treat yourself.
Hashtag treat yourself.
To a sacred tantric orgasm. You can find, you know, tantric videos on my website. And
where can level up your game.
My friend who published my course on Mind Valley, and he's like, so Sam, would you say tantric sex is like going from coach to first class? And I said, no. Actually, I said, tantric sex is like going from coach to a private jet or an interstellar aircraft to outer space. Yes.
We're going on SpaceX.
It's so good. It's SpaceX, baby.
Well, thank you so much for your knowledge and your wisdom today. We truly appreciate you shining the light on sexuality and making that sexuality soulful.
Thank you so much. Yeah, and people can find me on my website, salmisadora.com. I have something for all your listeners. So yeah. You can go to www.freetantragift.com. Ooh. If you want to learn a little bit, a tasty tidbit, a little appetizer about tantra, you can go to freetantragift.com. And then you can find me on Facebook, IG, Snapchat, everywhere. I'm just Salm Isadora.
Well, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Seriously, it was an absolutely wonderful conversation, and I look forward to an even more beautiful evening.
Well, and thank you for, I think, you know, having the conversation. I like that you are bringing a realness to, I think, a lot of this yoga community.
Well, this is who I am, and I can't be anyone else but myself. Well, and
don't stop now.
I've been very, very
don't
blessed.
Stop. Get it, get I've it.
Very
don't
blessed.
Stop. Get it, get it.
I'm getting it.
You get it. You get and keep getting it. And everybody at home, that's the golden nugget. Own it and get it.
Thank you for tuning into the Yoga Revealed podcast. You can learn more about Salm and her upcoming classes and trainings worldwide at her site, salmisadora.com. thank you for tuning into this outstanding episode and for being a part of this conscious community. I truly appreciate you for your dedication to supporting positive expansion and true empowerment. Knowledge is power. Let's spread it. Share this episode with a friend. Until next time, yogis, live light, shine bright. Namaste.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.